Almost thanks to God, you know, for my salvation. I came a long way since I first came into the ministry. You know, being a young teenager, I didn't really know what God had for my life. But now that I'm a young adult, I've seen God just move in ways that I can never imagine. Amen. So first and foremost, I like to give thanks to God. You know, and I also like to give thanks to my pastors, Pastor Francisco, Sister Sylvia, you know, for always believing in me, for always showing me on what I should do, where I should do it, and when I should do it. Amen. You know, they've always been great examples in my life. You know, they're my spiritual parents, and I love them dearly. You know, and I thank them for giving me this opportunity to be behind the pulpit. I don't take it lightly. And I also like to thank my leaders, Pastor Josh, Brother Irvin, you know, for always being there when I needed them. For always being that example of how a man of God should walk. How a man of God should be for them dealing with my life. Hello, somebody. But it was always a good thing. I never look at it as the wrong thing. It's always a good thing that they were able to deal with my life because I came in messed up. I came in messed up and I didn't want to listen to nobody. But they were there for me through the whole thing, so I have to give thanks to them. And I also like to thank my UTC directors, Brother George and Sister Christina, all the way in Panama, UTC Panama. You know, they played a big role in my life there in Panama. You know, I didn't really know English, so they always helped me translate. You know, but I like to thank them. Thank them for what they're doing there in Panama, the work that they're doing in Panama. And I like to give them thanks as well. So if everybody has their Bibles, and are they there at Joshua chapter 14, starting at verse 6? We're going to start at verse 6 here tonight. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. The Bible reads like this. A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, "Remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we're at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave an honest report. But my brothers who went with me frightened the people with entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day Moses solemnly promised me, the land of Canaan on which you were walking will grant of land that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly follow the Lord my God. Verse 10. Now as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well. He kept me alive and well as he promised for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today I am 85 years old. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on the journey. I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land just as the Lord said. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you, God, and we thank you, God, for the reading of your word, Father God. God, I pray, Lord God, you just move me to the side, God. Speak through my life, God. God, we pray, God, that you would just have your way, God. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. You may be seated here tonight. I titled this message, Take it, leader. Amen. You see, we need more people like Caleb in the house of God. Amen. We need more people like Caleb. You may ask me, but what makes Caleb important, or what makes him stand out? I'll tell you why. Somebody asked me why. The fact that he knew when to stand up at the right time. He knew when to stand up at the right time. As we read before, Pastor was talking about it. He was talking about it a couple weeks ago. That when they went out, it was only two people that came out with good reports. And Caleb was one of those people. Caleb was one of those people. You see, Caleb, he knew when to stand up. When everybody else was doubting, when everybody else was being frightened, was like, no, we can't do it. We can't go into the promised land. We can't go it. Caleb stood up and he said, yes, we can. Yes, we can. That's the promised land. That's the land flowing with milk and honey that the Lord's been talking about. We can take that land.
Yes, amen.
You see, Caleb knew when to stand out and he knew when to stand up. See, too many people are trying to be leaders only when they feel like it. Only when they feel like it. Too many people want all the attention, all the glory, whenever it's convenient. When it's convenient. See, Caleb, we really hear about him in only two passages of scripture. When he scouted the land, and now what we just read. And those two passages of scripture, you know what that showed me? It showed me a leader. Caleb was a leader. And he wasn't just an ordinary leader. He knew when to stand up. Amen. He knew when it was time to fight. He knew when it was time for him, if he had to stand alone.
Come on.
He was that type of leader. You see, we need leaders to know when it's the right time to stand up.
Amen.
And take it.
And
take it. Take the call of God serious upon your life. Upon our lives. You see, that's the type of leaders we need. We need leaders that are able to stand up and say, no, 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 devil, you thought you had me.
That's right.
You thought you had me.
Come on.
You thought you were able to take the promised land away from me. You thought you were able to take the promise away from me. Mm. You see, we got to be like Caleb and stand up.
Amen.
And stand up. And take the call of God serious upon our lives. You know, I find myself asking questions to myself, and I voice them to God. I ask questions, I voice them to God. You know, and one of my questions is, why is there a lack of leadership in the church? I mean, the church overall. There's a lack of leadership. I have four things that the Lord had put in my heart. Why there's a lack of leadership. The first thing. Lack of vision. Lack of vision. People don't want to be leaders. People don't want to be leaders that God called them to be because they lack the vision to be a leader. They lack a vision to become a leader. And when they lack the vision, the second thing that they lack is that they lack the drive. They lack the drive. They don't have passion for the things of God. All they want to do is just be saved and that's it. But we're not in that type of ministry where we get saved and that's it. We're in a ministry where we get saved and we're called to do something. We're called to be someone. But you see, they lack the drive. The third thing, since they lack the vision and they lack the drive, they also lack being a servant. They like being a servant. See, when you have no vision, it's almost like a chain reaction. When you don't have no vision, you're not going to have no drive.
Yeah.
That's right.
And when you don't have no drive, you're not going to want to serve.
Yeah.
The fourth thing, and this is like something that kind of sums it up, is that they like the desire to grow. They lack the desire to grow. They don't want to grow anymore. People don't want to grow anymore. And then in turn, that affects the church. That affects the church.
Yeah.
When we lack the desire to grow in the things of God, then that just don't affect you, but affect those around you. Because you can only take somebody as far as you go.
Yeah.
So if you can only go here, but God's trying to get you here, but you lack the desire to get there, then all you're going to do is just lead people to where you are. And they're not going to reach their full potential.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be all that God called them to be.
Yeah.
You see, we can't get to the place where God called us to be with these things that we lack. The things that lack. Like I was saying earlier, the lack of vision. We can't lack vision.
Right.
We got to have vision. We got to know where we're going.
Yeah.
We hear it all the time. Not just internationally, but here locally. Here in Victory Outreach Grand Prairie, where we're going. We're called. We have a vision to see this place packed out. Friday night, Sunday morning, on gang night. See, we're on life flow. See, we have that vision in our life. We have it.
That's right.
But some people, they lack it.
Oh,
they lack it. They lack the local vision. And they're going to lack the international vision.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to catch an international vision without catching the local vision.
That's right.
Oh, that's right.
It's true. It's very hard. If I know that I don't have my pastor's heart, if I don't have my leader's heart, then how can I have Pastor Sonny's heart? How can I have the elder's heart?
That's right.
If I can't understand it, if I can't grab it, if I lack it here, how can we're able to function internationally?
Come on.
You see, I've been keeping up with Mighty Men.
Yeah.
Mighty Men's been powerful, and they've been talking about leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You see. We need to be more like Caleb. I have a few points about Caleb. Somebody asked me why we need to be like Caleb. First reason is he kept the vision pure. He kept the vision pure. You see, Caleb, he was there since the beginning. He was there since the beginning. Since God brought him out of Egypt and they finally made it to the promised land, he was one of the 12 scouts. And then they wandered the wilderness, and now it was time for him to get his promise.
Yeah.
It was time for him to get his promise.
Amen.
After 45 years, Moses gave him that promise.
Yeah.
Moses gave him that promise. 45 years, he was 40. He was 40 years old. And now we can do the math, 40 plus 45. Now he's 85 years old.
Yeah.
Saying, I'm going to get my promise.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my promise. You see, he kept the vision pure throughout, no matter what the obstacle may bring. You see, we're reading the story. Caleb was like, this is what he said. He was like, I was there even in the wilderness. Even wandering in the wilderness, I was still there. And I was still waiting on the Lord. And I was still keeping the vision pure before the people. And I was still walking. And I was still keep on going.
Yeah.
You see, he kept the vision pure. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, we put it on the screen. It says, where is no revelation, the people cast out restraints. In other words, where there's no vision, the people perish.
Yeah.
The people perish. You see, in those 45 years walking in the wilderness, there were some people that didn't make it.
Yeah.
Wow. Right.
There were some people that didn't make it. Why? Because they didn't keep the vision pure.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when you keep the vision pure, when we keep this vision pure that we have, it's going to take us far.
Yeah.
That's right. Amen.
It's going to take us far.
Amen.
You see, what happens when we don't? When we don't keep the vision pure, it's like walking around with a blindfold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know where we're going.
Right.
We're like walking around like that movie Bird Box.
Hello.
We're just walking around and we can't see. We can't see clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh man, am I about to bump into something? I'm just going to keep walking. I'm going to keep walking. Somebody tell me if I run into something. And we keep on walking, but yet the vision's not pure, so we lack vision. So we lack the vision. There's so many people. There's so many people that they're walking. They're walking, but they're lacking vision.
Yeah.
They're walking around. The Bible says without a vision, the people perish.
Yeah.
Without a vision, the people perish. What is your vision here tonight? What are you seeing here tonight? You see, we have a vision here at Victory Outreach.
Amen, amen.
Our vision is to see souls saved.
Amen.
Our mission is to plant churches.
Amen.
Our mission is to plant more victory homes,
amen,
more training centers,
yeah,
into strategic cities around the world.
Yes.
You see, we're called to preach the gospel.
Amen.
That's our vision. That's our ultimate vision here in Victory Outreach. It's to preach the gospel, to save souls, to plant churches, to raise up more disciples. You see, that's our vision. That's our vision in Victory Outreach.
Amen.
You see, this vision will take you places.
Yes.
This vision will take you places.
That's right.
You want to know how you can just jump in? You just got to jump in. You just jump in.
That's right.
You just can't wait. You just can't wait to say, you know what? I'm going to do it tomorrow.
Yeah,
you know, I'm going to be a part of the vision tomorrow. I just can't do it today. No, but we got to be a people that are willing just to jump in, just to jump in. Why? Because this vision is going to take us places. This vision took me all over the world. And God is still going to take me places that I've never been before, to places I never imagined, because I follow this vision, because this vision is pure. This vision is pure. And you know, for me, I just had to jump in, because I was a hesitant person. If I didn't jump in, then 9 times out of 10, I wasn't going to do it. If I just didn't just do it, then I wasn't going to do it, pretty much. You see, since 1967, Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie been keeping this vision pure. And look where we are now.
Amen.
Look where we are now. Churches all over the world.
Amen.
All over the world. And you know what Pastor Sonny says? And it keeps me going. And it keeps stirring me up. That we're barely scratching the surface.
Amen.
See, this vision is going to take us further. It's going to take us further than what we can think and what we can imagine. You see, Caleb, he knew the vision that God had on his life. And it took him in. And he walked through the wilderness all those 45 years. And he didn't give up on the promise. He kept on doing it. He kept on fulfilling it. You see, this vision is going to take you places. For Caleb, it took him through the wilderness. Hello, somebody. It took him through the wilderness. But there's something special in the wilderness. Once you get out the wilderness, now you have perseverance.
Come on.
Now you have a little bit of endurance.
Yes.
Now that you went through the wilderness, now you can endure some things.
Mm.
You see, Caleb, he was 40 years old walking through the wilderness. Imagine that. Walking through a whole bunch of wilderness, a whole bunch of woods, and you're 40 years old. And you know you're not getting any younger. Hello, somebody.
Hello.
You know you're not getting any younger. But Caleb, he was like, I know God has a promise for my life. I know there's a place with my name on it. You got to understand it. We got to take it. Tell your neighbor, take it.
Take it.
Take it. You see, you got to take the promise that God has upon your life and just run with it. You can't. There's no time to hold back. There's no time. You see, we got to have that vision and we got to keep it pure. If we want to grow, we got to keep it pure. If we want to see the vision of God fulfilled upon our life, we got to see it. We got to keep it pure. If we want to see our children saved, if we want to see our brothers and our sisters saved, if we want to see our parents saved, then you got to keep the vision pure. Because this vision attracts people. This vision attracts. It attracts. You know, when I first came into the ministry, I didn't understand what was going on. I'm not going to lie. I didn't understand what was going on. But it was just something about this vision.
Amen.
It was just something about when people get up and they start testifying, start screaming on top of the lungs. And I didn't know what they're doing. I was like, what are they doing? Mm-hmm. They're making a fool of themselves.
Yeah.
But now I find myself doing the same thing.
Wow.
Now I find myself doing the same thing because this vision is attractive.
Yeah.
This vision will attract people. This vision will attract your family. This vision will attract your friends.
Amen.
But you got to keep it pure.
That's right.
You got to keep it pure. See, Caleb, he was keeping it pure all those 45 years. I'm pretty sure people was telling him, you can't do it.
Yeah,
like, dude, you're old. You can't make it. You can't make it. But I guarantee you, Caleb was like, no. I got a promise.
Yeah.
Some of you here tonight, you got a promise.
Come on, man.
Some of you here tonight, you got a promise from the Lord. Yeah. You have a vision from the Lord. Yeah. And God wants me to tell you here tonight to keep on pushing, to keep on walking, to keep on going. See, that's vision. That's vision. This vision will take you places.
Yes.
You know, this vision will take you further than you can imagine. You know, of course, I went to Panama, but I'm believing God for more.
Come on.
I'm believing God for more. Amen. One day I'll be in South Africa.
Hello.
One day I'll be in West Africa.
Hello.
One day I'll be in Mexico.
Yeah.
Might find myself in China one day. Hello, somebody. Hello. Preaching the gospel. Why? Because there's a purity in this vision.
Yes.
There's a purity in this vision. Young person, if you're here and you're listening, I'm here to let you know that God has a vision for your life.
Amen.
You don't have to wait until you're older to serve God, but you can serve God now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. Second thing. My second thing here tonight is that you must continue to be on the front lines.
Come on.
Once this vision is pure to you and you're keeping it pure, there's no retreating. There's no running. Caleb, he didn't run. He wasn't a runner. He was a fighter. Caleb was a fighter. You see, he grew older. He grew older. But he stayed on the front lines. He went from 40 to 85, and where was he at? He was about to take his land.
Wow.
He was about to take his promise. He's still on the front lines. You see, our leaders are still on the front lines. Pastor Sonny, Sister Julie, the elders, the multi-regionals, the regionals, our very own pastors, they're still on the front lines. They're still on the front lines. We need more people that's right there backing them up on the front line. Saying, you know what, Pastor, we got your back. We got you no matter what. No matter what comes our way, we're standing and we're going to stand in the front lines.
Yes.
See, we're a front line ministry.
Amen.
We're a front line ministry. You see, I don't know if anybody knows this famous football player. His name was Pat Tillman.
Yeah.
Pat Tillman. You see, the NFL offered him $3.9 million to play. $3.9 million. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. And he offered it to him to play. And you know what he did? He turned it down. And he went to go serve in the military.
Yeah.
Wow.
He went to go serve in the military. You see, he put his life on the line, and unfortunately, he did. He lost his life out on the battlefield. But something told me about Pat Tillman is that being on the front lines, yes, you're going to get attacked. But yes, it is worth it.
Yes.
It is worth it. You see, he went on the front lines protecting his country. Protecting his country. He went out there. But he knew it was worth it.
Amen.
And that's the same with us. You see, we got to be on the front lines because we love seeing souls saved. We love seeing people coming to the Lord. We love seeing people coming to our victory home, getting saved, getting delivered. We love seeing young people coming to our gang service, get saved and set free, free from depression, free from suicidal thoughts. You see, we love those things. So that's why we got to stay on the front lines. We got to stay on the front lines. There's no time to retreat. There's no time to call a huddle. You see, that's why we got to know the vision and know it and have it in our heart. Because we are on the front lines. We don't have time to retreat. Tell your neighbor, don't retreat. You see, Caleb, he wanted to fight. He wanted to fight. It wasn't like he backed down from it. He wanted it. He was like, I know that those people, they still live up there, but God is with me. And I'm here to let you know, Victory Irish Grand Prairie, if God is for us, then who can be against us? We might, you may say, well, I don't know what I got to do. Well, you just got to jump in. Jump into this vision. Jump in. Jump in. You see, he wanted to fight. He was like, listen, I know this may sound crazy. Joshua, listen, you got to listen to me. You got to listen to me. This may sound crazy. I know I'm 85 years old, but I haven't lost my strength yet.
Come on.
I might be 85 years old, but I can still fight like I'm 40.
Nope.
I can still fight like I'm 20. I can still move like I'm in, like I'm younger. He said, I know this may sound crazy, but this is what God called me for. God called me to do this. And you got to understand, if you're here tonight, that God called you for this vision. God called you for this vision. And you got to be that type of person that's able to rise up. To rise up and take ownership. Take ownership. Take ownership and fight. Tell your neighbor, fight. You see, he was like, this is what God called me to do. He called me for this promise. He called me for this vision. God called me for this vision at the age of 15 years old. He called me for this vision. I may not understood all the way back then, but now I know that God, this is what God called me to do. He called me to preach the gospel. He called me to save souls. He called me to disciple. He called me to preach in other countries. You see, this is what God called and has for me. And I'm going to take it. God called me to back up my pastors, back up my leaders, and I'm going to take it. And I'm going to take it because this is what God called me to do.
Amen.
Just like this is what God called Caleb to do.
Yes.
To take his promised land. You see, you may say here, well, I'm not a leader. I'm not a leader. But I guarantee you're a leader in your home. You're a leader in your home. You may not have a title or a position as a leader, but you're a leader in your home. And you got to say, I'm going to take back what's mine. The enemy tried to steal something from me, but I'm going to take back what's mine. My household, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
You see, the enemy can't have your family. You see, you got to take it. You just can't lay down, but you got to stand up and you got to fight. The enemy can't have my son. The enemy can't have my daughter. The enemy can't have my husband. The enemy can't have my wife. You see, we got to understand that it's a fight. It's a fight. And it's going to take a certain caliber of a leader. A leader like Caleb that stood up, that stands up when it's right. Even if he has to stand alone. When 10 people say, it can't be done. When your friends and your family tell you, listen, it can't be done. I know who you were back then. I know who you were back then. There's no way that you're going to be able to serve God now. But you got to look and understand from Caleb's perspective. Caleb had the perspective that if God called us to this promised land, if God called us, then nothing can stand in the way. Nothing and nobody can stand in the way. You see, we have to have this mindset that Caleb had.
Yeah.
His mindset determined everything. You see, Caleb, he stood on front lines. He kept the vision pure and he stood on front lines. Because he was called to serve. 45 years. He was right there with Joshua. Right there. Right there for 45 years. Helping Joshua lead the people of Israel. Keeping the vision pure before the people of Israel. Telling the people, hey, listen. I know we've been walking for a long time now. But one day we're going to get to that promised land. One day we're going to get to that land flowing with milk and honey that God called us to have. One day. You see, he was keeping it pure before them. That's why he had to stand on the front lines. That's why you got to take it, leader. You got to take it. Take the promise of God seriously. Take the calling of God seriously upon your life. Here's why. Because you got to keep it pure before the others.
Amen. That's right.
He had to keep it pure before the others. If he didn't keep it pure, then they just been wandering off. He's like, you know what? I'm tired of walking. I'm going to sit down and I'm gonna set up camp right here. I'm going to set up camp right here. And they wouldn't have accomplished. They would never got to where God called them to be. If there was leaders like Caleb that kept it pure before the others. That stood on the front lines when nobody else didn't want to. That fought when nobody else didn't want to. See, those are the type of leaders that we need. Amen. We need leaders that are able to fight when nobody else wants to. We need leaders to stand behind our pastors when nobody else seems like they want to. Yeah. That's the kind of type of leaders that we need in the house of God. Amen. If we want to reach the city, if we want to reach Grand Prairie, if we want to reach Arlington for God's honor and God's glory, that's the type of caliber leader that we need. Yes. We need leaders to stand. Tell your neighbor to stand. Yes. You see, the men are at the mighty men of valor. They're getting stirred up. They're getting stirred up. They're about to come back. They're getting stirred up. I can't wait to see what God's going to do in their life.
Yes. Amen.
You know, they're probably about to have service right now. They're probably in service right now. But we're in service right here. And we can get stirred up right here.
Yes.
We can get stirred up right here. To say, listen, the devil can't have our city. That's why I love that we're having a drama. It's specifically made for all the mothers on Mother's Day. Because we need to understand that we got a city to reach.
Yes.
We got a city to reach. See, when the mothers come in Sunday morning, they're going to see a powerful drama. And they're going to give their life to Jesus. And then I guarantee you, in turn, they're going to bring their family.
Amen.
You see, we just don't do things just to do them.
Yeah.
But we do things to see souls saved.
That's right.
We love to reach souls.
Yes.
We love to reach souls. That's our vision. And we're vision driven. We're vision driven, and that's our vision.
Sorry.
You know, Caleb, he was a special type of leader. You know, you don't really hear about him much. And I always wonder why. I was reading this, I was like, man, Caleb, he was pretty beast. He was like, I'm 85, I'm about to take my land. Whether I like it, whether they like it or not, I'm going to go take it. See, he had a type of determination about him that nothing could take away from him. He went up to Joshua and said, Joshua, listen, for 45 years, we've been walking around. For 45 years, now we're here. And now it's time to take my land. Now it's time.
That's right.
He had a type of determination that would lead others. That would lead others. You see, Joshua, he had a contagious spirit. He had a contagious spirit. I'm pretty sure Caleb. Caleb, he had a contagious spirit. You see, I bet you he was able to stir up a crowd. He was able to stir up a crowd. Just the way that he was talking to Joshua in the book of Joshua chapter 14, the way he was talking to him, it stirred me up. It stirred me up. I was like, yeah, let's take the land. Let's take the land, Caleb. Me and you. You see, we got to be leaders that knows how to transmit.
Amen.
That knows how to transmit. Transmit what? Transmit vision. We got to transmit this vision. And I say us, because it's not just our pastors that's going to do it alone, but it's you and I.
Amen.
It's you and I that's going to help transmit this vision to the next generation.
Yes.
And to the next generation after that. You see, Caleb, I'm pretty sure when others seen Caleb take his land, they got stirred up. they got fired up. They were like, you know what? If Caleb could do it at the age of 85 years old, then surely I'm able to do it. And surely I'm able to take what God has for me. And surely I'm able to reach souls. And surely I'm able to do all the dramas, being all the dramas. And surely I'm able to be all that God called me to be. You see, we need more examples. We need more examples like Caleb. Caleb, man, he was a go-getter. Whenever he went out, he was like, he was fine. He was like, you know what? We got this. I know there's people living right there, but that's only for a season. Hello, somebody. Until the Lord gives it to us. But we got it. The other 10 came back. I don't know how we're going to do it. Moses, I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know. There's giants living there. There's big things that live there. I don't even know. There's a grape. We found some grape that we had to carry with two people. I don't know if we can do it. I don't know. It's just too much. Bro, how can we just stay in Egypt? How can we just stay in Egypt? And it's sad to say, some people think like that. Man, it's too much. We can't do it. I'm tired. I can't do it no more. I can't go to the streets no more. I can't go to the rallies no more. I can't be a part of the dramas no more. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't pay my tithes. I can't pay my offerings anymore. I can't do it no more. I'm tired. And they just want to take a break. See, Caleb, he understood. Man, if they were to take a break, they would never reach the promised land.
Yeah.
If Joshua and Caleb decided to take a break, if they decided not to give that good report, if they decided to be like the other 10 that gave the bad report, they would never have reached their promised land, because the people would have been frightened. The people would have been scared. The people wouldn't have no direction in their life. They're like, man, we got this far. Now what? Now we're stuck. You see, if Caleb and Joshua didn't give that good report, then the people of Israel would have been stuck. They would have been stuck. You see, you gotta understand something about Caleb. He wasn't a person that liked to be stuck. I could tell, because when they were dividing up the land, he was like, oh, they're dividing up the land already? They're dividing up the land? Oh, hold on, Joshua, let me tell you something. Listen, God has a piece of land for me. You remember you were there with me when Moses gave you that promise. Joshua, let me have it.
Yes.
Let me take it. I can do it. Some of us feel like we can't do it.
Yeah.
Maybe because of our age. Caleb was 85 and he still took it. He was 85. Some of us may feel, well, I'm too young. No, you're not. The sooner the better.
That's right. Amen.
The sooner the better. Some people feel like they can't do it because they're like, they probably just don't want to do it. You know, that sounds like some of the people of Israel that will complain.
Yeah.
They're like, I just don't want to do it. You know, can we just stop, please?
Wow.
Please? Can we just stop? Can we stop doing the work of God? Can we stop for just 1 minute? Gosh, I'm tired. Like Moses, Joshua, and Caleb knew, if they stopped, that was it. If you stop, that's it.
Yeah.
You got to keep on going. See, Caleb, in those 45 years, he got wiser. He got wiser. And it's crazy. He got wiser, but he didn't lose no strength. He was going to go to war. He was going to take his land. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't going to be all bronze. Hello, somebody. But he was going to use tactic. And you know what? All he needed He said, all I need is the Lord. All I need is God on my side. Then surely I will take it.
Yes.
And surely it's mine. And surely it's yours. See, God's on our side. Victory has been free.
Yes.
God is on our side.
Yes.
God's going to give us the city.
Yes.
God's going to give us favor.
Yes.
God is going to give us favor with the courthouse. God's going to give us favor with the mayor. Hello, somebody. God's going to give us favor to rent out the Nokia Theater, the Grand Prairie Theater now.
Amen.
God's going to give us that favor. He's going to give us that favor.
Yeah.
And I'm here to let you know, if God is for us, then who can stand against
that's
us?
Right.
If God is for us, then who can stand against us? I like when we sing that song, our God is greater.
Mm-hmm.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you're higher than any other. Why? Because God's going to fight our battles. He's going to fight our battles. And my last point here tonight is that Caleb, he had a secret. He had a secret. Caleb's secret to all of what he did was his faith. His secret in all that he did was his faith. When you read back in the book of Numbers, the account of when they were exploring the land, Caleb was looking through the eyes of faith. He wasn't looking at what was there or who was there or what could be there. All he was looking at is through eyes of faith. And that was his secret. In verse 14, it reads, in Joshua chapter 14, in Joshua chapter 14, verse 14, it reads like this: Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. You see, and you got to understand something. If you want to be that man of God, that woman of God, that leader that God calls you to be, it's going to take you following God wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Without wavering. Through the trials, the storm, the ups and the downs, Caleb followed God wholeheartedly. He didn't doubt God. Some of us came into this place here tonight doubting God. Doubting the promise that God has for our life. The promise that he has for our family. Doubting. You gotta follow God wholeheartedly. We gotta follow God wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. With all our heart. With all our mind. With all our strength. We gotta follow God. Why? Why? Because nowadays, we lack leaders. Because no one wants to follow God wholeheartedly anymore. Nobody wants to follow God wholeheartedly anymore. They only give God 50%. They only give God 20%. And they want to keep the rest. But listen, if you want to take it, if you're trying to take it, it requires you following God and holding on to God wholeheartedly.
Yes, that's right.
If you want that marriage that you always wanted, that your family that you always wanted, if you want to take that city one day, if you want to go to the training center one day, if you want to do all these things that God calls you to do, you got to follow him wholeheartedly. You see, that's what Caleb did. He followed God wholeheartedly. We can't be all that we're called to be, being a half-hearted people. One day we're in, One day we're out. One day we're up. One day we're down. One day we want to serve God. The next day we don't. One day we want to read our Bible. The next day we don't. One minute we want to pray. The next day we don't. We got to be people that serve God wholeheartedly. With all of their heart. Why? Because the result is greater. The result is greater. Verse 14, it says Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb. All because Caleb wholeheartedly followed God. Our pastors and our leaders, they're wholeheartedly following God. They're following God. Why? Because the results are greater. The results are greater. The land is greater. The people that we're going to reach is greater. Yes. Yes. Than all the trials, all the storms, all the ups, all the downs. Yes. It's greater. Yes. You see, we got to be like that. We got to serve God wholeheartedly. Yes. Why? Because the results are greater. Yes. The results are greater. It's greater. We're trying to expand this vision. That people can have a hope in the future. We're trying to expand this vision. That they can reach their full potential in Christ. We're trying to expand this vision. Not just here. But all over the world.
Amen.
All over the world. You know, that's what we're doing. Victor Arms Grand Prairie. That's what we're doing. I mean, look. We're sending people to the training center. They're getting exposed to a global vision. They're coming back with that vision. They're helping us build here in Victory Arch Grand Prairie locally. Why? So it can expand all over the world. I'm telling you, this vision is going to catch like wildfire here in the great state of Texas. There's going to be Victory Arches planted on every street corner just like it is in California. Victory Arch is a household name in California. But here in Texas, we're barely scratching the surface. We're barely scratching the surface. One day, I believe that here in Texas, that God is going to raise up more pastors, more leaders, more evangelists right here from Victory Outreach Grand Prairie to take the state of Texas for Jesus, to not just the state, but the United States, not just the United States, but Mexico, Latin America, Panama. Man, we're raising up leaders to take the world for Jesus. Oh, we have to serve God wholeheartedly.
Yep.
Serve God. Serve God wholeheartedly. As we all stand here tonight. Caleb was a leader who wasn't afraid to take it. If you feel like you don't have a promise, or you need a refresher here tonight, then take it. I guarantee you, once you have that fresh vision, you'll get a fresh passion, a fresh zeal, a fresh anointing, a fresh newness. If you feel like you haven't been keeping it pure, tonight ask God to help you so you can see clearly. So we can see clearly. Why? Because this vision. There's something about this vision. There's just something about what we do. It's just something about who we reach. It's just something about Victory Outreach. That this pureness is what's going to drive us the next 50 years. Going to drive us the next 150 years. It's going to drive us 200 years. In Isaiah 59:21, that scripture will be fulfilled. That's scripture would be fulfilled. With every head bowed and every eye closed here tonight, if the word spoke to you here tonight, these altars are open. You come to the altar and seek the face of God. You come to the altar and ask God to refresh you. You come to the altar and just spend some time with God. And spend some time with God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Maybe you walked into this place feeling like that you lack vision, or you once had a vision, but something didn't happen, so it's kind of blurry. I want to say a prayer for all those, that say, that wants God to refocus their vision. Refocus the vision that you have upon their life. To refocus it. Because sometimes it get blurry, and all God has to do is just readjust your eyes. All God has to do is just readjust. So if that's you here tonight, I want you just to raise your hand. Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we come before you, God, right now, God. God, and I pray, God. God, that you would just, God, bring a renewed, God, a refocused, God, vision, God. God, upon, God, your people, God, here tonight, God. God, Caleb, God. God knew, God, what you called him to do, God. God, I pray, God, that tonight, Father, God, that they'll remember, God, the calling, God, that exact time, God, where they gave their life to you, God, the exact time, God, where you showed them, God, their purpose, God, where you showed them, God, their promise, God, I pray, God, that you just refocus, God, their vision, God, right now in the name of Jesus, God. God, I pray, oh, God. God, that you'll just refocus, God. God, bring a refreshment, God. God, bring a refresh. God, I pray, God, for a new anointing, God. A new anointing, God, to fall, God. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Before we leave this place, before we can dismiss, we want to give an opportunity for you to give your life to God. Or maybe you backslid and you want to recommit your life to Him. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you here tonight, you can just lift up your hands. Hallelujah. God bless you. Hallelujah. Why don't we all just say this prayer? Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Lord, I believe that you died and rose again on the third day. Lord, I need you, and I'm desperate for you. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me. Purify me. God, give me a vision. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Come on, church. Give Jesus some praise here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. We can feel God in the atmosphere. No, God is moving. You know, always remember, God has a promise for your life. And you just got to take it. Well, we just want to remind everybody, there's a street team that's going out here tonight after service. If you want to get involved with the street team here tonight, you can see Sister Alexis right after service. She's going to be taking out a street team. And also invite somebody else this Sunday to our special drama, our special Mother's Day service. We're going to have our drama, Not My Baby. So that's going to be exciting. So bring a mom. Bring someone that you know that may be a mom. It's going to be a special time in the Lord. Remember, we also got life drills throughout the week. We got a men's life group, we got a women's life group, we got a married couples life group, we got a gang life group. So get plugged in throughout the week, and we'll see you back here again on Friday for our Fired Up Friday service. Hallelujah. We're going to close out in a word of prayer. Father God, we come before you, God, and we thank you, God, for what you did here tonight, God. God, we pray, Lord God, that we leave this place, God, but never from your presence, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Hallelujah. You are dismissed.
did good, Frankie.
We will be starting drama practice.